back, and we're joined by Mr. Hans Tamamagi. Good morning, Hans.
Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Good. How are things where you are?
Well, you know, I'm just right now in a Spinnaker's Brew Pub here by the side of the harbor in Victoria, British Columbia, and it's beautiful.
Sounds wonderful to me. I'd love to be joining you by the fire this evening. It's a marvelous piece that you've written, and for our listeners, please, as we mentioned earlier, go to the website, and you can click on Destination Canada and follow along with us as we chat about Hans's piece. And there's some really wonderful photographs there, and I might just say, you start out by saying, I was gliding along an alpine track surrounded by high trees and dwarfed by towering mountain ramparts, and my dream of skiing in the Canadian Rockies had finally come true.
Yes, Roy, you know, I've always had this dream that I want to go skiing, cross-country skiing, from hut to hut in high mountains, and I'd always thought that I could want someday either do it in the Alps in Europe or in the Rockies in Western Canada, and 2 weeks ago it finally did come true. It was really, really a dream holiday. I enjoyed every second of it.
Well, it's super. Kind of take us through it, if you will.
Yeah, there was a group of about nine of us, and it was and we skied into a historic lodge called Skokie Lodge that was built in 1930, and we started in it was really two parts to the trip, but the first part we started in Lake Louise, and we skied about 14 kilometers, I don't know what, 7 or 8 miles, climbing relentlessly from 6,700 foot elevation up to about 8,100 foot at the top of the pass. And it was just delightful. You know, the first kilometer or two, we were still with kind of near civilization, but after that, we got totally into solitude with the mountains. And we all started skiing at our own pace and our own cadence.
And there was a group of nine of you, were there?
That's right. There's a group of nine of us. And, you know, every person's different. So we started, we broke into groups that were comfortable together. And, we started out in the tree line and skiing through beautiful, majestic, tall pines, you know, bedecked in snow, and slowly worked our way toward the tree line. And as we did that, of course, the mountains became more and more evident, towering over us. It was just really thrilling. It was really thrilling. Those mountains are just something else.
Yeah, I just could imagine. And it takes a lot of energy. I mean, one point you're skiing down and then you're walking back up. There may be, you might just explain a little bit to our audience the difference between cross-country skiing and just regular skiing.
Well, for sure, it does require a reasonable amount of fitness, but not a heck of a lot. I mean, you've got to bear in mind I'm 60 years old and I was able to do this. We carry packs, so we each had about a 20 or 30 pound backpack with our kind of overnight gear with us, and the cross country skis have wax on the bottom as well as kind of a fish scale construction, so you slide forward but not backwards, and then you just whoosh along, kind of pushing with your arms and kicking with your legs, gliding along, and we had to climb over two particularly big passes where it becomes very steep, and for those we put skins on the bottom of our skis.
Now, these are artificial skins, right?
Yeah, these aren't real skins, but in the old days, the natives and trappers used to use real skins, but now it's kind of just some sort of polyester material.
Right.
But again, the idea is the same, that the line of the skin is aligned with the ski from front to back so that you can ski forward, but you can't slip backwards. And these help you go up really steep pitches, which we did with great excitement and so on, but you know, when you're at the top of one of these passes, Roy, and you can look and back the way you came down at the valley, and you know, with cupped inside in between these huge mountain ramparts, and you look ahead and you see a different range of mountains and their valleys, you really do feel very, very insignificant as a human being.
Yeah, exactly. It's just totally awesome. And so you skied down and you actually skied on across a lake. Is that the way?
That was probably coming back out. We crossed the lake both going into the Skokie Lodge as well as coming out. But particularly coming out, we had a bit of foul weather. And the wind picked up almost to blizzard conditions and was just pelting across this lake, and we had to ski right into the teeth of it.
Now, that has to be somewhat scary. You can't see where you're going, or hardly.
You've got that right. It was definitely what I'd call skiing on the edge. We were, all you worry about is they have marker poles
right.
set up along on the lake, so you kind of, all we were worried about is skiing to the next marker pole. You know, get there and then ski to the next marker pole.
Right.
And it was just fantastic. I mean, we were never in any danger whatsoever.
Was there a guide with you?
There was a guide trailing
right.
One at the head and one at the back, and snowmobiles regularly from the lodge would come along and go back and forth. But everybody's read John Krakenauer's Into Thin Air.
Right.
Well, for some reason, images of that kept floating through my mind as we skied on this particular part of the lake. I really kept expecting to see kind of an ice encrusted body, kind of just abandoned on the side of the trail.
Yeah, exactly. And what I found really interesting is that the top of Deception Pass is 8,100 feet.
That's right.
Yeah. And that, that's a heck of a height.
Well, it is, particularly for me, because I live at sea level, and I guess, of course, in Florida there, you must be very close to sea level.
Yeah, we can identify with that.
Yeah.
Sea level is where we live.
So, I definitely felt the thin air. It's not if you're doing exercise at that level, but... I certainly felt a bit shortness of breath. Not much, but just a little bit.
And, of course, the panoramas are spectacular.
Any shortness of breath, any tiredness is totally swept aside just by the grandeur of the countryside you're in. As I say, even if you're not a religious person, you've got to feel some just terrific awe and reverence for nature and
right.
everything that's been created that towers around you like that.
And then, of course... When you did this slippery slide down to Skokie Valley, you're beginning to feel it, I should think, huh?
Yeah, that came at the end of 6 hours of skiing, so we were pretty beat by then. And then coming down, it was fairly steep and rutty as well from what the snowmobiles had done. So the only way to stop really was for a guy like me was to fall over.
And just lie back.
Which I would do very happily at times.
Right.
Just lie in the deep, still snow and, enjoy the panoramas around me and kind of catch my breath a bit and then get up and let my rubber legs carry me a bit further.
So the important message, other than the beauty and all this, is that you don't have to be 20 years old to enjoy this sort of sport.
Absolutely, absolutely. You really, it's an all-age sport. And if you're a bit older or if you're not as fit, you just go a bit slower.
Yeah, and in fact, I was with Bob Fisher. As you know, we went up to Quebec, and he did a little skiing, and he passes his hellos to you, by the way, and said he'll swap some ski stories with you when you get back. But, I was amazed on how many people that were not young people that got up and skied, and I think that that's super.
Well, let me give you an example here. When we got to Skokie Lodge, which is absolutely beautiful and a delightful stay, another group that was staying there was the Appalachian Mountain Club. There's a group there from the Boston chapter, and their ages ranged from about late 30s to 67, and with the average age being closer, probably around 60.
I'm looking at. I was just looking at the photos. I see this log cabin type place with the skis in front of it. Really, some super photos here, Hans. And I see. I don't know who that is, but skiing up to the log cabin. For those that are listening, you really need to have a look at this. And I understand that that one photograph. Was award winner in what was it, Up magazine?
Yes, it's Canada has two major airlines. One of them is WestJet.
Ah, yes. Uh-huh.
Their in-flight magazine very kindly chose my photograph as one of their top nine in their first ever photo contest.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Well, you get lucky once in a while, Roy.
Let
me very quickly tell you, if we still got time. One of the really delightful parts of this, of course, is that you kind of go through this really hard exertion, but then you arrive at these lodges. And both Skokie Lodge and the Sundance Lodge Lodge that we did a couple of days later are delightful. It is so nice to get away from electricity, from television, from telephones, and just be living the way people lived, you know, in the olden days.
Enjoy life without all those amenities that we don't really need.
You know, you sit around the fire, you actually, the art of conversation comes out. And of course, it's so relaxing because you're tired after they, you know, you hit the sauna and you relax and you talk and, you know, and you play Scrabble and you solve the world's problems. And it's so peaceful. Everything kind of goes to the rhythm of the sun, you know. When the sun is shining, you get up. When it goes down, you kind of get sleepy and go down as well.
Sounds wonderful to me. And just before we go, what you suggest, if people do go, they can get more information on this at travelalberta.com. And, of course, the Skokie Lodge, which is skokie.com. It's S-K-O-K-I. And you mentioned the Sundance Lodge and the Baker Creek Chalets, I think.
Yes, the Sundance Lodge is another lodge like Skokie that's in the wilderness.
Right.
It has its website is .xcskisundance.com.
Right.
And then Baker Creek Lodge is down, or Baker Creek Chalets is down by the main road, which makes a nice center to go either downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, or even hiking in the summertime as well.
Great article, Hans. Great photos. We thank you for that. But we've got to run, and we hope to be talking to you again very soon.
Okay, Roy. It's always a pleasure talking travel with you.
Same here. Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hans Tammagi. Great photographs. Great article. Have a look. We'll be right back. And when we do come back, we're going to be joined by our associate producer, Mr. Bob Fisher, who is going to take us on a Rediscovering America journey.